Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Ben. Doing well.
All right. What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, today we're going to talk about individual retirement accounts.
IRAs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we wanted to get into IRAs. There's a couple of court rulings that came out last week that I think give us a different view on maybe who we should name as beneficiaries of our IRAs.
Okay.
We get this question a lot, you know, even yesterday. Mm-hmm. Paralegal comes to me and says, I have, you know, someone, they did their estate plan back in 2011, and, you know, they're looking to modify their beneficiaries and their IRAs and want to know, you know, should we go individual? Should we go trust? You know, what do you think? And mm-hmm. analyze the situation and let's figure out who should be named as far as the IRA beneficiaries go. You know, and the reason, Ben, that IRAs are becoming more prevalent, I think, is number one, they're a large asset of a lot of individuals' estates.
Yeah.
You know, and the second reason is because, you know, they're not just that stock asset that's going to get that step up in basis when someone dies,
mm-hmm.
Because they're tax deferred. And the beneficiaries ultimately going to have to pay the tax on these particular items. You know, it's important to look at all the options that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the big things that our clients are looking for is the option for the beneficiaries to, you know, stretch out the IRA distributions over their lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one of the reasons that you name an individual as a beneficiary under an IRA is to enable that to occur.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's different rules. For instance, if you have a spouse, the spouse has the option to roll over the IRA into her or his individual IRA.
Right.
You know, but if you're a child that's out there and the individual was under the required minimum distribution age, 70 and a half, and you are mm-hmm. the beneficiary of an IRA, you can set up an inherited IRA and you can take that money out slowly over your lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
So that we call that the stretch option. So that's one of the good reasons to name individuals as your IRA beneficiaries.
Oh, I didn't realize you could name other entities.
Yeah, other entities for sure. Yeah, you know, certainly, you know, one option is, you know, is obviously default to the estate, and mm-hmm. that's a possibility given the certain circumstances sometimes. But really, you know, one of the things I would, you know, want our listeners to understand is there's an option here for, you know, a trust to be named, mm-hmm. a retirement benefits trust to be named, and those tax mechanisms such as the mm-hmm. the stretch option for children can still be preserved under a trust setup
mm-hmm.
That's properly drafted. And, you know, the second reason, which we're going to get to, which is creditor protection, these rulings that came out yesterday give even more credence to the potential of naming a trust because here, you know, I think we spoke several years ago, back in 2014, we had the Clark v. Ramaker decision, which was a decision which stated that inherited IRAs were not exempt from the bankruptcy estate under the federal exemption laws for mm-hmm. bankruptcy. And so that was a new ruling, because before, everyone just assumed that inherited IRAs did get bankruptcy and creditor protection.
Hmm.
So that Clark v. Ramaker decision really threw a wrinkle into things. And just this past week, we had a case out of New York, which applied New York state law, and it decided that it followed the federal rule, which was these inherited IRAs are not exempt from the bankruptcy estate. Therefore, creditors can come after
mm-hmm.
the inherited IRAs. And then also New Jersey, flip right around, New Jersey goes the exact opposite way. And mm-hmm. says that under New Jersey state law, inherited IRAs are exempt
right.
from the bankruptcy estate, and therefore creditors cannot come after that.
Where do we stand in North Carolina?
Yeah, that's a good question. So where do we stand in North Carolina? North Carolina, along with several other states, including Ohio, Florida, Missouri, Texas, Arizona, and Arkansas, all passed laws after the Clark v. Ramaker decision to say, we want these inherited IRAs to be exempt from the bankruptcy estate. We do not want creditors to be able to attach
mm-hmm.
to an inherited IRA. Now, what does this all mean, Ben? This all means that these states are just all over the map. You know, there's no general guideline. And normally, you know, when we're talking about an estate, we're in different creditor issues and different tax issues, we're talking about where the decedent died. That's not the case in this particular
law. Really?
It's where the beneficiary lives.
Huh.
So, you know, we get a lot of our, you know, clients are from, you know, New York, New Jersey,
right,
Massachusetts, you know, up in the Northeast, retiring down to North Carolina. I can't blame them. Great place.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have children who are still up in the Northeast. And here we go, where we've got two big states up there going the exact opposite way with regards to these inherited IRAs and creditor protection. Enter the retirement benefits trust. I mean, you know, it's kind of one of those things that if you're really concerned and you've got a large asset and you want that to be shielded for your kids, you know, then a retirement benefits trust really makes a lot of sense for you because, number one, as I stated before, we can draft the trust so you can take advantage of the tax savings, meaning the stretch option for your children. And then number two, if we do the trust, it's going to be excluded regardless of from creditors, regardless of what state law controls. So if you're in New Jersey where they say, you know, creditors are not allowed, or you're in New York where they say creditors are allowed to attach to the the inherited IRA, doesn't matter.
Well, the beneficiary
is in trust.
Not, beneficiary is not there.
That's exactly right.
It'll be here.
So you've got the trust, you know, as the beneficiary under these particular policies. And
let me ask a question here. When you say protected from bankruptcy, is that bankruptcy of the one who is receiving it?
Yes, correct. Okay. So what we're gauging here is that, you know, because if they're protected in bankruptcy, then we can pretty much assume that they're going to be protected all the way around. They're going to be treated like a standard IRA account.
So if they inherited an IRA, then they'll be protected in North Carolina.
You got it. So if you inherit an IRA just individually, no trust involved,
in bankruptcy,
and you go to bankruptcy, that will not be an asset of the bankruptcy estate. And by that, I mean it was not an asset that's available for creditors to attach to.
However, as you said, we're a mobile society. So should you move somewhere else, then it becomes a different story.
Yeah.
So this is maybe a good idea all the way around.
Yeah, and this is different because, you know, when we're counseling clients on tax ramifications, Ben, and we're sitting here and we're like, well, you live in North Carolina, you know. In North Carolina, we don't have an estate tax. You know, we're subject to the federal estate tax, but the exemption amount's $10 million. You know, we're focused in on, you know, North Carolina rules and North Carolina laws. But, you know, this really throws a wrinkle into it, and why I mentioned that IRAs are completely different animals, which is why, you know, yesterday when the paralegal came to me and said, hey, they're thinking about changing these designations, the first thing I told her, I said, get her in for an appointment. We need to talk about all of this stuff. You know, it's not as simple as just saying, you know, yeah, put these kids down, put this trust down, do this. No, it's really look at it. How much is the account? What's the value of the account? You know, where do these beneficiaries live? Exactly right. You know, what do you want out of this account? What are you looking to get out of it? Do you want to make sure that we, you know, that the kids have the option to stretch it out over their, their life expectancy? You know, do they think they're going to cash it in immediately and the stretch option is really not a issue? They'll just take the tax hit in the first year. You know, do you want some form of creditor protection there for your children? What's their financial situations like? I mean, you know, you got to get into the weeds a little bit, Ben, when we're trying to make these decisions. But I think that when these two cases came up and I read the article about it, how, you know, we have two big states going in opposite directions, it really opens up the fact that, you know, you need to sit down, you need to talk to someone about what the options are. You know, and I've drafted several retirement benefits trust over the past couple of years. You know, and one of the cool things is that we have some options. You know, you can draft one that's called a conduit trust, which requires the minimum distributions to be passed out every year to the beneficiaries. Or we can draft it as what we call an accumulation trust, and we can hold back those required minimum distributions. We can certainly give them out, you know, discretionary. So, you know, for instance, if the individual needs the money, fine. If he doesn't need the money, or we're, you know, for whatever reason, we're allowed to keep those into the trust.
Does the trust have to pay any penalty or taxes?
So the trust would then take the tax hit there. Right. If you pass out the money from the trust to the beneficiary pays the taxes on their individual return. If you hold the money in trust, then the trust is going to be the one that's going to be responsible for paying the taxes on that regard. And, you know, there's just different reasons, Ben, you know, various circumstances that come up as to why, you know, you maybe want a conduit trust or maybe you want an accumulation trust, or, you know, there's even provisions out there where we can flip it, you know, depending on the situation. We can turn a conduit into an accumulation or accumulation into a conduit depending on certain circumstances that arise. So, you know, the good thing about trust is its flexibility. And, you know, certainly what I would say is, especially for some of our listeners here who have moved down from, you know, the Northeast, you know, certainly in New York's a big one where we know creditors going to be an issue potentially and have children up there. Then, you know, this is a good thing to sit down and talk about. And the standard just, hey, make sure you name your individuals, because if we just name your individuals, they're going to get the tax benefit. You know, that thinking has got to change a little bit.
Yeah. Now, if you have, for example, it's a spouse as your, you've named, you said there's protections for a spouse.
Yes.
They can convert it, they can roll it over.
Yes.
But you often have a secondary beneficiary.
Yes, definitely.
Would the secondary one possibly be the trust?
Exactly. Exactly. So you may go spouse number one, spouse can then roll it over into their IRA account.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two would be, if the spouse isn't there, you know, have the secondary beneficiary be an IRA benefits trust. And, you know, that's a good way to do it. You know, if you have the right circumstances, you have the right mix, you know, it's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I'll let you know. But certainly I think that, especially given these rulings, it shows that it's going to have more prominence over the next few years to make sure that we're giving the individual the best.
Okay. All right. If you want to find out more, you want to call on the folks at Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Make that appointment at 252-726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Moriah City. You can email Andrew at afoster@harvellandcollins.com. And we'll see you next week.